If you get defeated in your mind, you're going to be defeated in your life. Look at Elijah. He believed he was going to die. He was defeated. So he ran for his life. Look at Jonah. He was defeated. Didn't get what he wanted. Didn't do it his way. God did it his own way. Got weary. The disciples, so discouraged about Jesus' death, they grew weary and fainted. Don't faint in your mind.
Thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church today. We're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland entitled Warnings Against Weariness. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. That's SHARON. Our address is 2628 Shady Lane Avenue, right here in Concord, Kannapolis area, not far from Giovanni's Pizza, if you know where that is. Sharon Baptist Church has been building lives on the Word of God for a lasting future now for 71 years now. In fact, Sharon Baptist Church's 71st homecoming is tomorrow at 10:30. Come out, we're going to have special music by the Hagen Brothers, guest speaker Reverend Jeremy Holt, pastor of Dungroves Baptist Church in Albemarle, is going to be at our church tomorrow, and you need to be there too, please come out. This is our 71st homecoming. Going to be a lot of fun. Also, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that's September 20th, 21st, and 22nd at 7 p.m., Sharon Baptist Church is going to have a good old-fashioned revival. That's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 7 p.m. I know that's a lot. So, Sunday's the homecoming. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night is the good old-fashioned revival. The revival will include special music and a guest speaker. Come out and join us Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Again, that's September 20th, 21st, and 22nd. That's this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And by the way, if you forgot, tomorrow, homecoming. Sunday, 10:30 in the morning, 2628 Shady Lane Avenue. Get it sent to your phone, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or if you must, watch the live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
Almost seems like that's the situation in our country today, the blind leading the blind, or the lost leading the lost, and you know where that ends up, don't you? Have you ever had a time, I know that you probably have, you can remember if you just go back and pinpoint it in your own life, a time when you got just really tired and stressed out and just weary? You ever been there? I think we all have at some point in time. That's what I want to preach about tonight, the warning God gives us against getting weary. I want you to turn with me to the book of Galatians just for one verse. Galatians chapter 6, start looking there. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. And when you found your place in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, turn over to the book of Hebrews. That'll be our main passage. Hebrews 12, 1 through 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and then Hebrews 12, 1 through 6. And preach about the subject of God's warning against us getting weary and fainting and giving out and giving up. Galatians 6, 9. Paul writes, and he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Then over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse number 1. The author of Hebrews writes and says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I suppose if you just kind of do a search, probably I'm sure in the Old Testament as well as in the New, a topic that runs all the way through the whole Bible, God warns us about being stressed out and being weary and fainting and quitting on the Lord. It commands us, don't be weary. Don't be fainting. Don't give out. Don't give up in your service for God, in your prayers for God. Because we know, Galatians teaches us, we're going to reap. We shall reap if we faint not. We know that we're winners. We know we're going to win. So after all God's admonitions here, and all the assurances God gives us that we're going to survive, we're going to make it through, we're going to win, I want to ask a question. Why are so many Christians weary, grown weary, grown lax in their service for God, just sort of given up and given out and given in? I don't know where that finds you today, but it's true with a lot of people. There's a warning God gives us here. There may be a way, possibly, you can have victory over weariness and victory over fainting and giving out and giving in. If you're about to faint today, if you've grown weary in God's service, I want you to take heart. There's some good things God has to say to us here from these verses. Our Lord speaks to us about three things I want you to see. He speaks about, first of all, the reality of weariness. Beloved, it's real, isn't it? You want some examples from the Bible of persons who were weary? In fact, you know you're not alone if you've grown weary at some point in time. It's not just happened to you alone, nobody else. Some of God's greatest servants became weary at points and times in their lives. Allow me to share a couple examples with you. If you go back in your Bibles and look, and sometimes go back, just make a note of it now, but go back and read it. In 1 Kings chapter 19, you find the story here in verse 4 and in verses 9 and 10, 8 through 10. You find the story here of Elijah. I'll kind of recap it for you. Elijah had just been up on Mount Carmel, had got a great victory from the Lord over all the prophets of Baal. God had slain the prophets of Baal. God had the glory. God got the victory. And no more had the victory been won than Jezebel, the prophets of doom, you might say, demons, Jezebel sent word to Elijah. And she said, if by tomorrow, this time, you're going to be dead. So it shook up on Elijah, and he ran for his life. He ran a number of miles. Some people think it's about 60 miles. Nonetheless, he made a big distance between Jezebel and himself. And he sat down under a juniper tree. Hope you've heard the story. If you hadn't, go back. It's a wonderful story. Go back and read it. He sat down under a juniper tree, and he began to talk to the Lord. Here's what he said. Lord, I kind of just summarize it. You go back and read it. Lord, he said, I'm the only one left just trying to serve you. And they're trying their best to take my life. And God, I'm the only one left. He's so weary. Sat down under a juniper tree and just given up. Lord, just take my life. And God said, Elijah, wait a minute. You're not weary, are you? You're not giving up, have you? Elijah, let me help you take heart. There's 7,000 prophets of God who have never bent their knee to Baal. They're standing faithful to God. You're not the only one. Get up from that juniper tree and get on serving God. So you see, great man of God, prophet of God, Elijah, he grew weary. He fainted. He sat down under a juniper tree and just wanted to give up and let God just take me on to heaven. I've done all I can do here. So you see, you're not alone when you have points and times in your life when you get weary. Let me give you another example. Jonah. In Jonah chapter 4, if you read the book of Jonah, if you haven't, please go back and read it. Wonderful reading, wonderful stories. Jonah had run from the Lord. God told him to go this direction, and Jonah went that direction. He told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Well, Jonah got on a ship and went the other way. And we know what happened with Jonah. The Bible says a shipman threw him overboard and a whale swallowed him. And he was in the whale's belly 3 days. And the whale sort of just regurgitated him up on the shore. And I try my best to imagine. Maybe I'm a little far out, but bear with me, would you? I could just imagine old Jonah when he got regurgitated on that shore after being in a whale's belly 3 days, how he must have smelled and looked. Wiping whale juice off of his face. Yes, Lord, I heard you. I'm going to go to Nineveh. And he cleaned himself up, I'm sure, went straight to Nineveh, and he preached that great sermon. And thousands were saved. And so old Jonah goes outside Nineveh up on the hillside, and he builds him a little booth. I guess you said a little blind, you might say a little booth. I called it a pouting booth. He gets in the booth, and he's beginning to watch. Now, God's going to destroy those wicked sinners over there in Nineveh. But God didn't destroy them. They repented, and God spared them. And Jonah, sitting in his little pouting booth, weary because God didn't kill all those people in Nineveh, he's all upset and mad and weary. So God, having mercy on Jonah, caused a gourd vine to come up. You know how fast gourd vines grow? They grow fast. A gourd vine came up and shaded poor old Jonah from the hot sun. And he was so proud of that gourd vine. Happy that he had a gourd vine. And God sent a worm and cut the gourd vine in two. And it died. Jonah was upset. And God said, Jonah, did you think more of that little gourd vine that's just a little plant that's here today and gone tomorrow? You think more of that gourd vine, all those thousands of precious souls over there in Nineveh who are dying without Jesus Christ and dying without God? You thought more about that gourd vine than you did those lost people. Jonah, you see, got real weary. Elijah got real weary. So you see, you're in pretty good company if you had times in your lives when you got weary too. But let's move over to the New Testament, because a lot of folks think the Old Testament don't apply today. Oh, yes, it does. It's just as real today as it was when it's written. But let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to the book of John. In the book of John, chapter 21, you find the story there where Jesus has just been crucified, and all the hopes, all the aspirations of his disciples, those apostles, were just been dashed to pieces because Jesus had just been crucified, died, and buried. So they all became weary. They all wanted to faint. And you know, Peter was kind of the spokesman for the group. And Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. I'm just going to go fishing. So the rest of those guys got real quickly agreed with Peter. They said, we're just going to go with you. So they left what God had called them to do and took a fishing trip. I call it a ministry of misery. Because they fished all night, didn't catch a fish, didn't catch a one, not even a minnow. Yet, they grew weary. Jonah grew weary. Elijah grew weary. Well, you wonder why they never caught a fish. They'd fainted on God. They'd grown weary in service for the Lord. Do you ever wonder why sometimes our service for the Lord is not as successful as it really ought to be? Probably the same reason, wouldn't you say? We get weary sometimes and we faint on God and we almost quit on God and give up on God and we don't serve Him like we should. We rebel against His commands for our lives, don't believe His Word, don't practice His Word. And no reason the reality of weariness is so great today in people's lives. It's a reality. It's real. It's true. But I want you to see something else. not just the reality of becoming weary. I want you to see the hostility from the world that causes people to be weary in their service for God. I want to use Jesus here as an example. In the book of Hebrews, we just read chapter 12, verses 1 through 6 there. You find how Jesus was treated by the world. Jesus said, they persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. So probably we should not expect anything different from the world than what Jesus got. Should we? The world hates us. The world hated Jesus. And hostility is what you can expect from the world. What kind of hostility did Jesus get from the world? Well, look at it in verse 3. You see there a great contradiction. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Jesus endured more from the world than, of course, he ever deserved. But Jesus never deserved any of it. But he endured from the world the hostility more than any person who's ever lived or ever will live. He got it all. But did you notice something about Jesus? He didn't get weary. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He didn't faint. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was called a wine bibber. We'd call it an alcoholic today, a drunkard. He's a wine bibber. He's just a friend of sinners. He was the most mistrusted, misguided, and misunderstood person who's ever lived in this world. So maligned and beaten that he would almost not be recognizable as a human figure. Scourged. Do we need to expect anything different from the world? Listen, the world will make you weary. If you don't consider what Jesus went through and see how it didn't bother him, he stayed on the path, stayed on the way, didn't he? We've got to consider him and pattern our lives after his example. So you expect contradiction from the world. I said to you earlier, I think I did at least. I'm going to say it again if I didn't. Somebody on the news podcast the other day I heard say, Christianity is just as dangerous as terrorism. That's what the world thinks about you and me. Contradiction. But in Jesus' life, it ended up in crucifixion. Look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. All Jesus endured, all he went through, and at the end, crucified. Beloved, listen, the world would do the same thing to you and I if they thought they can get away with it. Did all this weary Jesus? No. Did all this silence Jesus? No. The world's trying to silence us today. The world's trying to get us so weary and faint that we'll just give up and let them do what they want to do. Listen, you and I have never taken, we never will take, what Jesus took and endured in his own life. But it didn't silence Jesus. But you see, we get weary pretty quickly, don't we? We faint pretty quickly, don't we? It doesn't take very much sometimes. We'll just say, well, you know, what's the use? Just give up. Get weary quickly. When things many times don't go our way or go the way that we like to see them go. Remember what Jesus said. The servant is no greater than his Lord. So you see, we can expect from the world hostility. And we're getting hostility today, aren't we? And I guarantee you it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So the reality of weariness is real. The hostility from the world is real. But there's a third thing I see here. Yeah, I see it in Jesus. We can see it in our lives too. There's victory for us through the Word of God. In Hebrews 12 and Galatians 9, you see that. Listen, We don't have to suffer defeat. We don't have to suffer weariness. We don't have to suffer and be weak and faint on God. We don't have to do that. Jesus didn't. Well, where did Jesus get his victory over this? How could he endure such things as he endured? How could he have the victory? I'll tell you how he did. Through the Spirit of God and the Word of God, just the same way you and I'll have victory today. Two things he says to us here in these verses I want you to see. Two things he says. First of all, he says, there's some things I don't want you to forget. And then he says, I don't want you to faint. All right? Look at the forget, first of all. Don't forget. Don't forget you are a child of God. Don't forget what God says to his children. Through Jesus' example, he said two things. Don't forget. Number one, don't forget your joy. Oh, don't forget your joy. For the joy, it says, that Jesus saw that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. What is this joy that's talking about in Jesus' life? I'll tell you what that joy was. Jesus saw the joy of many, many souls down the road coming to know him as personal Lord and Savior. And it made joy in his heart. That's why he could go to the cross. That's why he took the hostility. That's why he never got weary. That's why he never fainted. That's why he never quit, never did give up. Think about it. The joy that's set before the church. I'm talking about the whole church around the world, the real New Testament church, not just our church, every legal, real New Testament church. The joy should be set before us that one day in heaven, we're going to be around the throne of God, and there'll be many, many, many souls that our church and other churches, other people, have won to the Lord. And just think about the joy that you're going to have when you stand before God that one day you had a part in leading somebody to know Jesus. If that doesn't bring joy to your heart, you better go back to Calvary again. Amen. It's a joy to know that if you have an opportunity to serve the Lord and bring somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't get weary if you keep that joy. He said, don't forget that joy. And don't forget that you've been justified. Don't forget you're a child of God. You're children of God. God has justified us. He has declared us not guilty by the Lord himself. God loves us. But he also chastens us not to get weary, not to faint, not to give up. Don't ever forget your joy. Don't ever forget your justification. But then he said a second thing in victory. He said, don't faint. Listen, if you don't consider Jesus, you will faint. You will get weary, and you will give up. Weary, fainting. There's two areas here I want you to consider. And he says, don't faint. Don't faint in either one of these two areas. Number one, don't faint in your mind. There's the real battleground. That's where the battle takes place. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Verse 2 especially, he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Don't faint in your mind. If you get defeated in your mind, you're going to be defeated in your life. Look at Elijah. He believed he was going to die. He was defeated. So he ran for his life. Look at Jonah. He was defeated. Didn't get what he wanted. Didn't do it his way. God did it his own way. Got weary. The disciples, so discouraged about Jesus' death, they grew weary and fainted. Don't faint in your mind. And he said also, don't faint in your ministry. Your mind is the battleground. Your ministry is the blessing. Galatians 6, 9. Remember, let me read it again. Listen to what it says. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Now listen to this last part. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. When he said we shall reap, that is a present tense, continuous action. It means it's going to happen. There's not a doubt that it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. Ministry. Why? Why not faint? Why not grow weary? Why not give up? We shall reap. We shall win. We know we have the victory. So don't forget it. Don't faint. Don't grow weary. Don't give up in your mind. Don't give up in your ministry. Because you see that due season he talks about in Galatians 6:9, that due season's not closed yet. It is still open. Listen, beloved, we have work to do for the Lord as a church. We have seeds to sow. We have lives to cultivate. We have souls to win. There's a harvest out there for us. So let's not grow weary. Let's not faint before we realize it. I want to close with one more verse. Beautiful verse. Psalm 126, verse 6. Just listen, I'm going to read it to you. Psalm 126, verse 6. The psalmist writes, and he says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So then, victory is ours. Let's go for it. Amen? Let's go for it. Lord Jesus, forgive us. For we, like many others over the years, have grown weary. Forgive us for fainting. Forgive us, Lord, for giving up from time to time. You've had to chasten us because you love us to bring us back to a point of faithfulness. Help our church to be revived and realize the harvest is white. It's plenteous. The labors are few. God, send forth labors from this harvest to this harvest from our midst. Give us revival, I pray. Give us souls, Lord Jesus, for your honor and glory and praise, knowing that you didn't die in vain. You died for those souls. You saw the joy that would be yours one day in glory from all those who had come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. Help us to take our part and stand true like you did, Lord Jesus, till we meet you face to face. We pray in Jesus' name.
That was Pastor James Strickland in a message entitled Warnings Against Weariness. You can find that message on their website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. That's SHARON BaptistConcord.com. Their address is 2628 Shady Lane Avenue, right here in Concord, North Carolina. Tomorrow is the 71st homecoming. You've got to come out and join us, 10:30 a.m. We've got special music by the Hagen Brothers. Guest speaker, Reverend Jeremy Holt. That's the pastor of Duns Grove Baptist Church in Albemarle. And then following that, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're going to have a good old-fashioned revival, 7 p.m. That's September 20th, 21st, and 22nd. This is tomorrow's the homecoming. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is the revival, 7 p.m. The revival is going to include special music and a guest speaker. So come out and join us tomorrow for our homecoming at 10:30 a.m. You can find out more about this event and us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. If you can't make it, join us for live stream. We live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord.
God help us, church, today. God help every preacher today to do the same thing Paul did. Stand boldly and say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, and everyone else in the world from that day to this, until Jesus comes again."
Don't forget that you're invited. Sharon Baptist Church's 71st homecoming is tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. Find out more on their website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or on Facebook at Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.